happens if you have a partnership that goes south? It's probably going to happen to you in real estate. That's today's show. Let's dive into it. Hey, everyone, I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. Thank you so much for dialing us up. I'm sure you found us because you're worried about maybe a partnership, a contractor, a property management team, a banker, a private equity partner, who knows, right? You're going to have a partner eventually in the real estate game, but what happens if it goes south? That's the theme of today's show, and no one perhaps has more experience in this regard than our guest today. He's a legend in the real estate business. He's the author of the great book, The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. He's a rich dad advisor for real estate to Robert Kiyosaki. He's become a good friend over the past couple of years. He's been an advisor to me on some stuff that I had to deal with as well, and he's become a great friend. Ken McElroy is back on the show. Ken, great to see you again, man.
Thanks, Clayton. Great to be on, as always.
Well, thanks so much. And, you know, this is a bit of a painful topic, I guess. People don't want to think about this, right? I guess this is probably the thing I think that circulates through people's mind when they're thinking about taking action in real estate, right? For whatever reason, they're happy to sort of blindly put money in the 401k, right? Then we saw what happened during the crash. People lost almost their entire life savings during the crash, right? And yep. People are fine to kind of put their money blindly in the stock market. They have no control over it whatsoever. They invest in Coca-Cola, and then Coca-Cola hires Britney Spears as a spokesperson, and then their stock tanks for some reason, and then they lose all the money they put into Coca-Cola. But when it comes to real estate investing, I guess people get even more cold feet because maybe it is that they do have more control over their own destiny, and they are taking action on their own. And so the thought of having a sour partnership is the thing that I guess scares them the most, right?
It does. And it's legitimate, honestly. You know, real estate is a business. And I think, you know, those other examples you talked about, I think it has to do with time and people's, you know, ability, like you said, get off the couch. It takes real time and real knowledge to put together partnerships and to buy real estate and hire property management companies or manage it yourself. And it's a skill set that most people don't have. And, you know, and I think a lot of people are afraid of what they don't know.
So you obviously got your start. Kind of walk our viewers through your history. I mean, you got your start really in the property management space. I mean, this is where you really cut your teeth. Yeah. Take us back to that time.
Yeah, I was so lucky, honestly. I was a senior in college and a buddy of mine said, hey, you want to manage this property you know, for free rent. And I'm thinking, you know, poor college student with student loans. I said, well, right. What could be so hard about that?
<You know? laughs> Right.
So I ended up moving downtown Seattle into this property, and it was small. It was only 60 units, but, you know, had lots of tenants and lots of problems, and I was renting units and turning units and collecting rent, not collecting rent, and, you know, chasing rent and all of those things. And so that was my first experience. It was a great experience. It was just a little bit over a year. And then I ended up actually getting into the business, getting my real estate license and managing, you know, several thousand units from Tacoma all the way down through, you know, even north of Seattle area, anywhere from 8 units to, you know, 300 units all up and down the Interstate 5. And, you know, that was my only job I actually ever had in property management. It was incredibly rewarding, and I learned so very much.
So at that level, when you were learning about property management, what are some key takeaways from those early years, things you would have done differently in those early years, those early partnerships, those early mistakes that you learned from?
Well, I think the number one thing and the simplest thing that can eliminate most problems is so simple, and that is vetting your tenant. And every single problem comes from that. Not everyone, but the majority. So, and what happens is people, you know, it's like if you're getting a home loan, you know, you're paying the lender to run your credit. Well, it's surprising to me how many landlords don't do that. So just having somebody fill out a credit application and telling them you're going to run a criminal credit background check. Now, we run also a sex offender check. That's fairly new for us. You know, so we just tell everybody we're doing that. So we'll do probably 400 or 500 a month of these credit checks, and the tenant pays for them. So that's the first line of defense, because if somebody is a felon, or somebody has a bad credit history or whatever it is, they're going to take the application and they're never going to come back. And so, you know, so that's kind of the first thing. So getting the right person in the place, whatever it is, a single family home, a townhome, an apartment, doesn't really matter, is probably the number one mistake people make and the number one thing that people can avoid.
That's amazing that they don't do these credit checks and they don't check. I mean, every one of our property management teams is supposed to do that. And of course they do. I get, you know, emails from property management companies that say to us, well, we have a person that has, you know, a sex offender record. Is this somebody you would want to allow into your property? And you know, you, like, no, but I'm glad that they do those checks. And because the property was close to a park, they, you know, wouldn't, they would might be violating this if they were placed in that property. So that's certainly good to know about. So tell me now, like, when you look at the property management piece, that has been where you cut your teeth. So screening a tenant, what about hiring the contractors or doing tenant turnovers? You mentioned you were doing a lot of tenant turnovers, of course. Talk about that piece and where those partnerships can go south.
Well, I can tell you, I've been burned on almost everything on the contractor side. So, you know, obviously when you turn an apartment or you turn a house or whatever, there's always stuff, you know, from roofing to plumbing to electrical to landscaping to painting to flooring. It doesn't really matter. Honestly, I've been burned on every one. And multiple times. And so, you know, the what happens is you should always get several bids and you should do thorough checks to make sure that these contractors, you know, have a nice record or have a track record. In my opinion, you don't really want to go with somebody that is new, and you don't really want to go with somebody that doesn't have a history of completing the projects and paying their bill, you know, and if you're on most of these contractors, you know, if they require a big upfront, you know, payment, for example, you know, that can be a problem. But most of the time, it's Clayton. In my experience, has been if you want to go with somebody who's licensed and bonded and is registered with the Registrar of Contractors. And even though they might be a little bit more, you're going to have a lot less headaches than, you know, somebody that's, you know, a tradesman that's, you know, that can be, you can do something halfway and then, you know, you have to go in and fix it later.
Right. I mean, so you've been burned across every spectrum of the contractor experience. I think we have too. I mean, you know, it's just commonplace. I mean, is this something that you should just build into your thought process that it's going to happen?
Absolutely. You have to go there, as terrible as it is. I mean, you just think about it. These companies, a lot of times, they're very cyclical. So a renovation contractor, I think on one project that we bought in Mesa, I think we're on our third or fourth one, you know, in 2 years. You know, and they're low margin businesses. So you got to put your, you know, who are they and how are they paying their people? So what happens in the contracting business is they oftentimes are very poorly managed. And so they might have multiple projects going and they're taking your money and they're paying somebody else. And so, you know, all of a sudden the guys that are working on your job aren't getting paid because they used the money to pay, you know, something on somebody else. And so you got to really dig into the cash flow and the operations of the actual vendor. I've had this happen with contractors. We've given contractors $5,000-$10,000 to go out and buy plants, you know, and, you know, because they need that, you know, they don't have a credit line anywhere. And then of course, you know, that's it. We never see them again. So it's happened to me and it's horrible, you know, but the only thing that you can do is that you have to, you want to make sure that they have proper credit. At, you know, like we'll just pick on a landscaper. You want to make sure they have proper credit and they can go get plants and trees and sod and things like that from a vendor, and that you're taking care of them within the 30 days so that they're not extended or something like that, you know. Right. And it's the same thing with flooring. That's, we've been burned on flooring. We've been burned on painting. We've had guys, we've had painting contractors, come in and not do what they say and then leave during the job, cause they can't pay their guys cause they have multiple other projects going. We've had that with roofers. We've had that with paving guys, the way you avoid that is that you just go with a large company and you're going to pay more. There's an illusion, I can save, 10, 20, 30% over here with this guy that's just running out of his garage. And that's probably true, but you're not going to get all that other stuff. And it's just, you want a company that, and by the way, I'm hammering away on these contractors. There are some amazing contractors out there, and I just want to point that out. There are, and you just got to find them.
So how do you find them? Here's one of my tips, and this has worked for us, which is, honestly, getting free estimates and free bids. One way to do it is to go to Craigslist, and there will be contractors that post there for free estimates, right? And that's how you hold an event where you invite, a bunch of contractors to come and kind of tell you about what they do. Come out, get different bids, see what they have to offer. How do you find good contractors and kind of keep them happy, right? Because if you find a good contractor, you don't want to lose them.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's kind of like finding a property manager, it's the same process, what kind of track record have they had? What I like to do is I like to do it through referrals. So, I'll call up other property management folks or other people that have used different contractors and then I'll bring them in. And so that's been one way that we've done it. Obviously you can find them through Craigslist, through the internet, through a lot of the local trade associations, like we're really active in the Texas Apartment Association and the Arizona Apartment Association, except for example. And so sometimes they'll have what's called an associate category where these vendors are actually joining. And it's not very much money. It's like $300 a year. And they're actually coming to the events and, because they're actually trying to promote their services too. And so these trade shows are also very good ways. If somebody's going to spend money on a booth and have a professional people in the booth and talk about what they do, and they're going to show you their client list and all those kinds of things, you can narrow down your mistakes a lot. And so, we have these local associations we have every May, like for example, in Arizona, there'll be 200 vendors that will have booths, from flooring to trash compactors to, painters to whatever. And so, you can kind of start to get an idea of, the year over year, contractor. You want that contractor that's going to survive the downturn,
Right, right. Yeah, and another thing to do, this is a little thing that I like because I'm a customer service kind of person where I want to be able to get then someone on the phone. And so we'll call different contractors, and sometimes if you call some contractors like a paving company for driveway or whatever it happens to be, and if they've got an answering service that will actually get back to you in a timely fashion, then that means that contracting team values bringing in new business, actually has set up a receptionist service to actually take calls and get back to people in a timely fashion. I got to say, I bet those are the people that get the jobs, because when I call five different people and only two people get back to us, do you think that the other three that never got back to us, they're losing business hand over fist? And that's a good indicator about how they run their books, how responsive they are, and are you going to be able to even get them on the phone if you need to?
That's right. And I think, these are red flags that people, like in any relationship, there's red flags. And so whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship or a vendor relationship, those are red flags. And if you're having a tough time, a lot of these times these contractors have really, really horrible billing, really horrible accounting. Well, if you've called their client list and said, how are they on billing and how are they on this and how are they on that? And you've asked those questions and they're horrible. The chances of them, not being horrible for you are the same.
Right.
So, these are obvious red flags. One of the bigger issues that I've seen, it's hard to find it's just sometimes it's hard to spot the ethics issue and the character issue, you know, behind some of these contractors. But there are, you know, we've had that. We've had we've seen guys come to town, you know, and you know, put up a you know, a big faux, you know, hey, this is who I am, and da da da, you know, and then they'll take people's money and then they'll skip town. You know, we've had that. So you just start to narrow that down, though. With, you know, how long have you been in business? How long have you been in business in Arizona? How long have you been in business in Texas? And, you know, you start to do that year over year, you know what I mean? And I just really think that you got to be, and what happens, like most people, they get in a rush. You know, they're like, hey, we really need to put this deal together. We really need to put this partnership together. I'm only here for 24 hours. I'm only here for 48 hours. Or whatever it is, and you just got to be super patient and vet these things out just like you would a tenant.
Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ZipRecruiter.com. You know what's not smart? Look, I've been in business for a while, and I've learned a thing or two about doing some stupid stuff and then doing some smart stuff. You know, here's what's not smart. Just relying on certain job sites out there to send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort through. That is not smart. We've been down that rabbit hole, and it is not smart. You're going to be sifting through some pretty terrible resumes most of the time. Here's another thing that's not smart. Job sites that make you wait for the right candidates to apply for the job. So you put out the job post and just wait for them to come in. Not smart. Not smart. And another thing that's not smart is using like relatives or family members to kind of fill in while you're trying to find the right staff members. Don't make that mistake, okay? Don't do that either. And in life, you know, well, here's another thing that's not smart. Making like your 401k plan or the lottery, the centerpiece of your retirement planning, you know that from listening to our show, right? That's not smart. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/investing to hire the right person. Here's why. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Now, we've used ZipRecruiter here at Morris Invest specifically to find the right candidates. And boom, it absolutely works. It's powerful. Their matching technology scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job. And it actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates very fast. I mean, really, really fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. And this ratings comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. So right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter.com/investing. My friends at ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks, ZipRecruiter. Yeah. So let's finish on property management again, which is, you know, looking for proper property management. Let's say my audience, maybe they've got two rentals, three rentals. You know, we work with a lot of different property management teams across the country in our rentals. How do you vet them? I mean, what are some of the questions that you would ask? Obviously, you're still doing your own property management, but you also work with property management teams in different parts of the country. What would be some questions you would ask when you're vetting them?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things that when I get asked this question, I'll give you an example. We had a company in Oklahoma that I met the guy that owned the company, and I was on the board of the National Apartment Association, and he was on the I was on the board. I oversaw Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, and Arizona. And he was kind of central U.S. And so we met, and I hired his company in Oklahoma. I love this guy. I mean, he is salt of the earth like you. I mean, he's the greatest guy on the planet. I used him for a project in Tulsa, and he killed it. Like, first year or two, amazing. And so we bought another one there, and not so good. And same guy, though. Okay, and so the reason I'm telling you the story is you can have a really good company with a really good reputation and a really good person, but what he did is he put the wrong person at the property, and so he hired poorly. Okay, and it can happen. And so what I always tell people is, you know, and this is a guy that I really like, still like, you know, but he made a really bad decision, and I've made that mistake. I've hired poorly. And so it really boils down to who's actually the boots on the ground, who's the actual one actually handling your property, and what's their experience like. Do they follow through? Do they follow the rules? Do they enforce the lease? You know, are they proactive when they're calling you and emailing you, texting you, and all those kinds of things? So it has a lot less to do with the company, although it does help. You know, obviously, because he ended up, you know, letting that person go and hiring a new person. And then, you know, we shored up that problem, but I lost a year of, you know, what I would call medium to poor performance on that property as a result of that one bad hire. And so it can happen. You can have a really good company and bad people running your building. And so it actually, believe it or not, where I focus is at that level. So I actually still interview managers for my properties, even though I'm four or five layers up. I think it's the most important critical piece that I want to make sure that they haven't jumped around. I want to make sure that they have a lot of experience. I want to ask them hard questions about tenants, how they handle the problems, how they handle the maintenance issues, and all those kinds of things. And those are the things that I get involved in, because if I can find that good person and put them on the project, then, you know, all my mistakes, all the problems and all those kinds, and the performance goes up, you know? Right. So it doesn't really matter who the company is, really, you know, although it does, sometimes they do a very good job of hiring, and good companies do attract good property management people. So I look at both of those things when I'm figuring all that out.
That's great. No, some great tips and advice, Ken. I really appreciate it. People can learn more about everything you're working on over at kenmcelroy.com. I should mention, I've been a guest on there with you as well, the Rich Dad Radio Show that Robert Kiyosaki and his wife, Kim, host as well. So you're on there on a regular basis. And what's coming up for you in 2019? Any big projects you're working on? I always love hearing about, last thing you were doing was some big project with billboards, right? And electronic billboards. And
yeah. We're heavy on the billboards. We're doing billboards. We're doing self-storage. We got some office buildings. Really what we're doing is we're selling, as you know, a couple $100 million worth of real estate. And we're going to net quite a bit, you know, out of that. And we're going to create a fund for new construction, because we can still, believe it or not, we can still build at like six and a half cap rate, and which is very, very good. You can't buy at that. So having that spread is good. And so Ross and I are right now, we've got several projects under construction now. We're out getting land right now on some new deals, and ground up construction's fun. The only problem with it, of course, is there's no return for several years, you know, because first land doesn't produce. And then you're under construction, that doesn't produce, and then you got to fill it, and only then does it produce. So
right.
there's a lag for cash flow, but that's kind of where we're going to do. We're hoping for the next couple of years we can bridge the gap, and then hopefully there's a big real estate crash and we can go in and buy again.
So. Yep, that's what I know. Robert's sitting on right now too, waiting for that to come.
Yeah, and the last thing I just would tell your folks is that, you know. Yeah, being liquid, having excess capital is good. So you should definitely be investing in real estate, as I am and as you are. But you also should have some cash, in my opinion, on the sidelines right now, waiting for, you know, I've had people tell me they think 2020, 2019 could be, you know, kind of the end of this cycle for my space for commercial.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah, having that extra reserve to be able to go out there and snap up some deals. I mean, we all saw what happened during the last crash in 2008, and that's how guys like you and smart investors made a lot of money.
Yep.
Yeah. So
you make it when you buy, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, great to see you as always, my friend. I hope I get to see you. See, the last time I saw you, we had lunch a few months ago. I hope I get to see you here in the fall. We'll be able to connect and hang out again.
Come on out to Arizona. It's really hot now, but it won't be in the fall. So
yeah, when we're starting to get ready for snow and everything else, you guys will be sitting by the pool.
I know.
Tough life out there. Ken, great to see you, my friend. Always a pleasure having you here on the show.
For sure, Clayton. Hey, great chatting with you.
You bet. Thanks so much, Ken. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to the show. If you're not a subscriber, please hit the bell down there, subscribe. And also you can download our Freedom Cheat Sheet, which we make available for free. It's there, 3 pages. It's easy. Just click on the link right there. It'll walk you through kind of how to figure out what your expenses are every month and how to then reverse engineer that and figure out, you know, what do I need in real estate for passive income in order to become financially free? That's the whole reason we do all of this. It's the cash flow. We'll see you next time here on the Investing in Real Estate show, folks. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. And as Ken said, keep some money in the bank. We'll see you next time.